This afternoon, we are down to the fourth installment of our series called Every Nation in Action, Enact. This afternoon, we're going to talk about the very missionaries that we have been sending. So please don't be taken aback if we share, you know, some stories here later. We're going to give you some, you know, information. I hope you don't post them on the internet. But before that, let me just ask you for a while. Who among you had the desire to be a missionary someday? You have a desire to be a missionary someday? Can I see your hand? Anong nation yan? Who wants to be a missionary in South Africa? Anyone? You want to be a missionary to South Africa? Maybe Sudan, Nigeria, may mga ganun ba? Who wants to be a missionary in the Middle East? Okay, you want to be a Christian missionary in the Middle East? Okay, wow. How about Afghanistan? Okay, Afghanistan. Who wants to be... gusto mo punta Afghanistan? Who wants to be a missionary in Syria? In Syria, I want to be a missionary in Syria. We'll send you tomorrow. Who wants to be a missionary in South Korea? You want to be a missionary in South Korea? Ayan! Alam ko lang naman yung motive na yan. Gangnam lang yan. Who wants to be a missionary in one of the hardest places to be a missionary in the world? In New York, New York. Brooklyn, New York. You want to be a missionary there? How about in Los Angeles, California? In Sydney, Australia? All right. So, depende na lang po sa inyo ni Lord yan. Kung anong habol mo, green card ba? O talagang gusto mo mag-reach out? Okay. So, pag-uusapan po natin this afternoon is basically, you know, that, the missionaries, we're going to share, you know, stories about our missionaries. Every nation, as a movement, we have, you know, we have our own, you know, basically, we have our own core values. I don't know with you, di ba? When you go to a certain household, there are things that they do that define them as a family. Tama po ba? Halimbawa, pag sinabi mo mga pedida, they have their own, you know, set of values in their household. Okay? Pag sinabi mong family ni Wipi, they have their own sets of values. Okay? One thing that distinguishes, you know, the family of TV from the rest of us, sila pong lahat, mga magagandang lalaki at magagandang babae. So that's their very value, the number one core value. Dapat, if you belong to this household, dapat magandang lalaki ka. Alright, so basically it's the same thing with us. You know, whenever we talk about Victory, there are things that we're doing here that other people might not be doing. And there are things that they're not doing that they are doing that we are not doing. Okay, and basically this is an opportunity for us to understand this, okay? Turn your Bibles with me for a while to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Okay, look at this one. It says here, "Now there were on the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Okay, verse 2. "While they were worshiping..." Okay, like what we were doing a while ago. "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" Last verse. "Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off." You know, this verses that we've just read basically talks about, you know, the setting apart, okay? As what the verse was saying a while ago, the setting apart of Paul and Barnabas for a specific calling, okay, for a specific purpose that God has given them. Now, there's something that I want us to understand here. Look at this one. It says here in verse 1, "Now there were on the church at Antioch." Okay, can everybody say that with me? Antioch. Okay, imagine lang ng konti. Antioch, para pwede pang missionary. Antioch. The Bible says there was a church in Antioch. Now, before we proceed, okay, there's a photo that I'm going to share to everyone. I'm going to share this photo to you, and I want to get a consensus for this one. Okay, I want a nod of heads. Okay, if you are familiar with this picture, if folks ready for this one. Okay, who among you have encountered this photo on the internet or on newspapers? You've encountered this. Come on, just sabi ko po nod lang, nod. Ayan, sige nga, panod nga. Ayan, okay, it's very... Okay, you're not familiar with this one? You're not familiar? All right, if you're not familiar with this one, maybe you're familiar with the next picture right here. Okay, it's basically the same story. Okay, if you were a person from the 2015, you folks know what I'm talking about. Okay, in fact, in our time right now, specifically this month, there's just basically two fevers that's trending all over the world. The Syrian crisis and Al-Dab fever. Diba? So Aldab lang po yan, siya ka-Syrian. But what I'm talking about here, okay, are not those guys right there. We're talking about the Syrian crisis. Okay, who am I familiar with what's happening in Syria? That there's like a diaspora, there's like an exodus of Syrians moving out of their nations. Anyone familiar with this one? Okay, all of us. Okay, all of us are aware that this is happening in the nation of Syria. And the truth is, here's what I want us to understand. The Syrian crisis, if you look at the statistics, it is actually very, very overwhelming. Okay, there's these staggering statistics just like this one. If you would come to understand, there's like hundreds of thousands. Okay, hundreds of thousands of Syrian refugees, including children. The one you saw a while ago was a child who drowned while escaping from Syria. Okay, there's like 800 plus thousand of them who went towards Turkey. Some of them seek refuge in Lebanon. Okay? Biro mo, lit-lit ang Lebanon, nagsiksikan sila doon, 1.1 million. And a lot of them went to Iraq. Siguro na-realize sila, magulo rin sa Iraq, bumalik rin sila, lumipat sila ng Jordan. And some of them went to Egypt, and some of them went to North Africa, in the Libyan part, okay? Or maybe in Sahara Desert. Again, a lot of them also are going to the European nations. Okay, a lot of them are going to the European nations. Now, if you would come to look at this, if you try to Google this at home, what this picture is basically saying, this is a verified information from the United Nations. It says here, there's like 3 million Syrians who are now refugees. Okay, if you look at the population of Dumaguete is like how many thousands of people? 150. Tama ba? 150 during nighttime, 300,000 during daytime. Am I right? Because people from other municipalities would come to Dumaguete on daytime to work, and then they go back to their own municipalities. But anyway, you multiply the number of people in Dumaguete by how many times, that's the equivalent number of Syrian refugees seeking refuge in other nations. If you would follow this on the internet, you would come to understand that this is actually a terrible thing that is happening in our generation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2015. It's 2015. If you want to ask me how worse is this scenario that we're seeing right now unfolding before our very eyes, it's something like this. If we in our generation right now, the very feeling that we have towards the Nazi Germany in the 1940s, okay, with what happened to the Jewish people, if you would look at the history books, that is the same feeling that the future generations will have towards our present generation right now. We will go down in the history books as maybe, you know, probably one of the coldest and heartless generation ever to walk this earth. Now, I do understand, you know what? We don't normally, you know, talk about, you know, the current headlines. Okay, here in church, maybe some of you are thinking, teka lang, Archie, pinunta ko dito, Victor, hindi CNN. Alam ko po na parang reporting to. Okay, this sounds like a reporting, but there's something that I want us to basically understand here. If you would come to understand, and if you would look at the Syrian crisis, you would come to understand that this Syria right here that we're talking about in our generation right now and the Antioch that we were reading a while ago has a connection. I want us to understand that the ancient city of Antioch was the former capital of Syria. The ancient city of Antioch basically was what? It was the former capital of Syria. What am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say is that Syria was formerly one of the cradles of the Christian faith. There was a time in history that Syria wasn't how it is right now. It was where a lot of missionary journeys started. In fact, if you would read your Bible, you would come to understand that Antioch during their time, the Antioch church and the Antioch as a city was very strategic for several reasons. Some of these reasons are this one. Antioch in Syria was where the gospel was first preached to the Gentile world. And I want you to understand that we are part of those Gentile people. Okay, meron bang mukhang Jewish dito? Look at the person beside you for what? Pwede ba? Jewish ba? Antioch in Syria was where the gospel was first preached to the Gentile world. Not just that, if you know the guy named Paul, it was in Antioch, Syria where his first missionary journey started. And here's another thing. It was in Antioch, Syria where believers were first called Christians. So what is my point here? Okay, this is very simple. I want us to understand that, you know, with what's happening in Syria right now, we cannot be apathetic about it, because right there is a huge chunk of our Christian faith, the heritage of our Christian faith. And what makes me excited about this, since we're talking about the nations, we're talking about going into the world, here's what I want us to understand. Earlier, we've shown you a picture of the people going towards Egypt. Okay, the refugee going towards Egypt, and there's like 139,000 Syrian refugees in Egypt. And guess what? As a local church, next year, we are going to Egypt. And in faith and by faith, we are believing God that as we send a team there, our team might meet and will meet even a single Syrian refugee, and we will begin to preach the gospel and offer the hope that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our faith as a movement. Okay, it basically just, you know, if you start, you know, doing the work of God in the nations out there, God would basically move in our midst. So what is our role now? Okay, this is very simple. What we're going to do here this afternoon is that we're going to give everyone an opportunity to be part of what God is doing in the nations of the world. Amen. We're going to give everyone the opportunity. Number one, here's our opportunity. One of the things that we could do as a Christian is to start learning how to pray. Okay, to pray for our missionaries. If you look at the verse that we've read a while ago, it says here, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The words, while they were worshiping there, also talks about while they were ministering to God. Okay, meaning to say they were actually praying. And while they were praying, God, the Holy Spirit, gave them a specific task. And the Holy Spirit basically told them, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas. I don't know with you, but maybe, okay, there are some of you here, God has been calling you to be a cross-cultural missionary for the longest time. Maybe this is the time to just not just brush it off and start contemplating and praying about that calling that you have, okay, the calling that God has given you. It is important for us to hold the ropes for missionaries. Okay, let me just give you some stories right now. I have a picture here of Pastor Rocky. Okay, Pastor Rocky Hashmi. Okay, he is our pastor in Bangladesh. And his real name is not Rocky. It's just that he's a boxer. That's why they gave him the name Rocky, to protect him, his identity while he is in Bangladesh. And the thing with Pastor Rocky and his mission in Bangladesh is that Pastor Rocky is considered a mega church pastor in Bangladesh. If you know what a mega church here, what a mega church is, if you would look at the mega church in the United States, you're talking about 10,000 people. Like, you're talking about 5,000 people attending his congregation. But for Pastor Rocky, he's a mega church pastor. He pastors a church of 100 in Bangladesh. And guess what? Every single missions organization would look at the church that he is in, and they're like, man, what in the world are you doing? Why is it growing? Because the truth is, no church would begin to basically flourish in the nation of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is one of those nations in the world that is very hostile to the Christian faith. In fact, our church, or every nation church in Bangladesh, you know, in several occasions, okay, there were people that who would go there and they would try to stone rocks while they were having worship services. Can you imagine that? Papunta kayo dito, binabato kayo. Saan ka pupunta? Punta akong Victory. Ha, punta ka Victory. Nobody would ever do that to us. Okay, but we have here a family, okay, who left their career and basically became a full-time missionary. And guess what? They will not, you know, hindi po sila tatagal sa mission field if not for the prayer of the saints who sent them, the church that sent them. And it is our responsibility, basically, as a Christian, to pray for missionaries. Do you think we are a group of people who can pray for missionaries? Okay, we can always pray for missionaries. Okay, people like Pastor Rocky. Okay, another story that I have here, okay, This is the story of Pastor Ernest Villanueva, not a pastor, sorry, Ernest Villanueva from Laos. Okay, what they would do is that, and you know, Ernest and his team in Laos, you might think that, you know, it's Laos, it's in Southeast Asia. In Laos, you know, they don't have the freedom that we have here in the Philippines. Okay, they don't have the freedom of just worshiping. The government would basically track you down and deport you. Worse is that the government officials could actually detain you just because you are a Christian or you're reaching out to other people. One time, they were together with his team of missionaries. They went to the campuses and started ministering to the people, to the students. What they didn't know was that they were being followed by a spy. Okay? Sa atin po sa Pilipinas, ang nagfa-follow sa atin, stalker. Facebook stalker. Sa kanila, totoong spy. Yung talagang nagsusumbong sa government. Tayo, pag meron tayong stalker, masaya tayo. Di ba? You feel flattered. Sa kanila, ayaw nila ng spy. Ayaw nila ng stalker. So, you know, there was a spy who reported what they were doing to the government. So, the government officials went to the group of missionaries and basically held them. And what they did was that, okay, why don't we review the CCTV cameras? You know, and they were really praying. They texted the people back home. People started praying for them because they're going to be detained and deported for that matter. And for some miraculous reason, while they were trying to work on the CCTV, at that very point when they were preaching in the gospel, okay, it cannot be found in the footage in the CCTV. It was a miraculous and a divine, you know, intervention that God and His angels that would do for His saints. You would know that, you know, we just sent a team to Pakistan. And let me just again clarify this. There's a difference between a cross-cultural missionary and a 10-day missionary. Tama po ba? If you are a 10-day missioner, we send you to Sydney, Australia. You go there for how many days? For 10 days. Wow, grabe ang galing nyo. After 10 days, because it's over, it's not 11 or 12 days. After 10 days, you what? You come back. A cross-cultural missionary is different. A cross-cultural missionary would go into a different nation, not for 10 days, not for 10 months, but it could be 10 years. So that's the difference between a cross-cultural missionary and a 10-day missionary. Now, just to distinguish between the two, if you have been attending our services, you would know that we sent a 10-day team to Pakistan. In fact, they are in Pakistan right now. You folks remember them? Alala niyo sila? Hindi niyo sila kilala. Yung worship leader natin, si Adonis, remember? Our worship leader Adonis. Are anyone familiar with Adonis here? The guy? You know, hindi si Ogie, not the one of Regine. Adonis, our very own Adonis, our very own actor here. Okay, our worship leader, right there, there's Adonis and his wife, Natadel. And Kenneth and his wife, Eds, and Ryan, and his wife, Cheryl. In fact, right now, okay, this is their last day in Pakistan. It's their last day in Pakistan. They're leaving tomorrow night, going back to Bangkok, and they will be here in the Philippines, or maybe in Dumaguete on Tuesday. Okay, and you know, when they were about to leave, they were basically asking for prayers. And this is how real things could be in terms of opposition for people's going to 10 days or people who's going to become a cross-cultural missionary. I don't want you to be scared about this. This is just part of the thrill. Like, it's just part of the thrill. And one of the things that they were praying, okay, the first few points of their prayer was that, Lord, I hope that, Lord, we pray that you would give us the grace, Lord, to complete our support. And God answered their needs. Okay, we started praying for them. God answered their needs. And the first line of opposition, everybody knows this, is the immigration counter, not in Pakistan, but the immigration counter in Manila. So when they were in the immigration counter in Manila, guess what? The very thing that they might think could happen to them actually happened. Okay, Adonis and Natadel went past the gate without question from the immigration officers. But when it came to Kenneth and Eds, when it came to Ryan and Sherry, right there and then, they were asked to go to the immigration booth, to the immigration office. So they were sitting there for 1 hour. And their flight was like, I kept calling them and they were being questioned. Well, you are a government worker. What are you going to do in Pakistan? And that was the first line of opposition. And we texted so many people to start praying for our team. Are you one of those who prayed for them? We started praying for people. We need to pray for them. We started praying for them. And I have to be honest with you. You know, I was calling them. I was like looking at the watch. Oh my goodness, it's boarding time. So I called him, Ryan, ano nangyari? Okay lang ba kayo? You know, bro, boarding time nyo na. Sabi sa akin ni Ryan, Pastor, chill lang. Sabi niya, chill lang, Pastor. Okay, sige bro. Sige bro, sabi ko sa kanya, bro, 5 minutes na lang, boarding time. Pastor, this is a done deal. Sabi ko, wow, grabe. Lord, I repent. Grabe sana, naparepent ako. Sabi ko, okay. So ang ginawa ko, tinawagan ko si Adonis. Sabi sa kanya, Adonis, sabi niya, bro, boarding na. Andito na kami sa boarding gate. Naiwan pa sila doon. Ang tanong ko ngayon, mauuna ba kami? Iwan namin sila or intayin namin sila? Sabi ko sa kanya, konsensya mo yan. Sabi ko sa kanya, bro, wait for them for a few more minutes. So I cannot even decide. I was like thinking, if they go to Bangkok, then there's just going to be the two of them who'll be ministering in Pakistan. And the four will be left behind. And you know, just before, you know, the plane would basically, you know, take off, they were released by the immigration officers. And they were there in inside the plane, and they were already praising God even before their first day in Pakistan. This is how real prayer is needed among the missionaries. I'm talking about their 10 days missioners. I'm not even talking about, you know, people who risk their lives week in and week out. Tayo po, ano po mga laman ng prayer natin? Laman ng prayer natin, Lord, pahinga ko nung bagong Nike. Lord, yung bagong ganito. Samantala sila, pinagpipirayan nila na mabuhay sila the next 5 minutes. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just encouraging everyone to learn to look beyond ourselves and start praying for our missionaries. That same week that they were in Pakistan, you know, I remember that was a Thursday. One of our intercessors from the church texted me. Sanya, Pastor, can I meet with you? Okay, can I meet with you? There's just something that's very, very urgent. I was like, tita, hindi mo siguro kayo buntis, ano? This is just very urgent. So I went to that person and started talking to that person. And answer is, what's wrong? Is there something? Sabi niya, you know, this morning, while I was having my conversation with God, while I was having my quiet time, I just felt a heavy burden to pray for the specific missionaries that we sent to Pakistan. It's like, why? For some reason, in my vision, I saw all of these, you know, crazy things that's happening in Pakistan. And there's specifically this one person who was shivering from our team. She was really scared, according to our intercessors. And she was so scared that even herself, while she was seeing that vision, she was already trembling with fear. So what we did was that we started praying for that person and for that team. We started interceding for them. And guess what? That very evening, the people from Pakistan, or the team that we sent, they Vibered me. They gave me they texted me a Viber message. And it was Kin who basically told me, Kuya, today we had an opposition. I was like, what is that opposition? At that exact time that I was talking to our intercessor, okay, he basically told me that there's this one Pakistani lady, an old Pakistani lady, who went behind one of their team members, you know, laid hand at the back of her team members. After that, the team member who felt like she wants to collapse. She felt like, man, I'm shivering. I feel like I'm going to collapse. After that, one by one, they felt so weak. They were sapped out of their energy and felt like, man, there's something wrong here. Have we not prayed and interceded that person would collapse? There's power when we start to come together to intercede for our missionaries. You know, just yesterday, they had their, you know, they had their victory weekend. I forgot the figures, but there's like 20 Pakistanis that they water baptized. Can you imagine that? Not professing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, this coming November, you know, Pastor JD is leading a team. Okay, he's leading a team to Mumbai, India. He's leading a team to Mumbai, India. And there's like, how many of them? There's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Sure na ba yan si John? Ah, sure na. Okay, there's like 10 of them, you know, 12 of them who's going to Mumbai, India. Now, this is an opportunity for us as early as now to start praying for them. Can we as a church commit to pray for our missionaries? Now, I want to, in line with that, as we start praying for them, here's what I want us to understand. This is not reserved for a few people. In fact, let me tell you something. Next year, we will go to 3 nations. Okay, we will go to Myanmar on April. We will go to Mongolia in October. And we will go to Egypt in December. It's about time for us, you know, as a local church, to do something. Okay? The second thing that we could do other than praying, or let me just share with you a story of Sharla Ngayodan. She is our missionary in Tibet. Okay? Her name is Sharla. I think she's single. For the guys, single yan. Okay? Sharla Ngayodan from Tibet, of all places that a worst thing could ever happen. Can you imagine that all her life, hindi man lang siya nasagasaan sa traffic ng Manila. Pagpunta niya ng Tibet na halos walang kotse, doon pa siya nasagasaan. Sa sobrang chaotic ng buhay niya sa Manila, wala, safe na safe siya sa Tibet. Sobrang lamig, sobrang konting tao, doon pa siya nasagasaan ng kotse. And she was really hit bad. And one of her fellow missionary, sending a text in their church in the Philippines, and people started praying for her. And she was unconscious, and when they started checking on her, she was not a single organ was basically harmed. That is, ladies and gentlemen, the power of prayer. It is my appeal to everyone that we as a church would start praying for the missionaries out there. The song that we were singing a while ago, "We Speak to Nations," the moment we sing those declarations, it is true that basically what? Walls begin to crumble down. Walls would begin to crumble down. And that is our responsibility. The next thing, the next responsibility to which, that I'm going to explain more in detail later, is the opportunity that we have to give. An opportunity for us to give. You know what? It is not enough for us to pray, but I want you to understand this. We have the ability to actually give and send a missionary out there. Who among you, you've tried or you've tried partnering with a missionary already? A campus missionary or a cross-cultural missionary? Wala pa. Okay. A lot of us have tried, partnering with a missionary. If you haven't done that, I tell you what, here's one of the promises in God's word. You start blessing the nations, your household will be blessed. You start blessing the nations, your household, okay, will be blessed. That is a promise that God has for those people who sends out missionaries. It is true. It is true. We cannot be cross-cultural missionaries, all of us. Tama ba? Kasi pag nag-cross-cultural missionary po tayong lahat, ano mangyayari? Wala nang tao sa church. Wala na tayong victory to Magdala. We'll close this down. So meaning to say, there are people who has an undeniable call to go to the nations of the world. Okay? May lalapit si Archie, I feel like I'm called in Washington, D.C. Sige, pagpraya natin yan. Wala problema yan. Basta pagpraya natin na maigi. Kasi baka mamaya, ibang gawin mo doon. We have these callings to go to the nations, and we can actually take part. Okay, we can actually take part by giving, okay, and supporting, okay, our missionaries. In fact, that's something that I would want to encourage everyone to start doing if you've never done that. Another story of our missionary from Tibet, the one was hit by car. What's her name again? Sharla, tama ba Sharla? Yeah, Sharla. This person really has a lot of great testimonies. Siguro nakakatakot to sa mga guys. Nakakatakot to pakasalan kasi para ang dami mga opposition. But anyway, pagdating niya sa Tibet, when she got in Tibet, and she prepared her money for her accommodation for 1 year, and everything was already arranged in terms of finances. The moment she got there, she was told by the local landlord that she needed to pay $1,350 for accommodation. And she was like, oh my goodness, I'm already here. I cannot say no to this person. Because if I say no to this person, where will I sleep? Sobrang lamig sa labas. And she doesn't know anyone. So meaning to say, she needs to provide $1,350. What she did was that she started asking for prayers for people in the Philippines. And here's what happened to her. Okay, there was an Indonesian, okay, an Indonesian Christian who doesn't even know her, who started communicating with her. And the Indonesian told her, if you are a missionary in Tibet, I'm going to send my support to you. I want to support your missionary work. And she was, the Indonesian Christian wired money to her. When she checked the amount, it was $1,350, the exact money that she needed. We can start partnering, okay, with the missionaries that we have. When we were in Pakistan, they were telling me the team that we sent to Pakistan, sabi niya, sobrang init dito. Sabi ko, bakit mainit dyan? Kasi laging nagba-blackout. Because in Pakistan, they don't have a body of water. Okay, they only borrow electricity from India. The problem is, kaaway nila si India. So, nirarasyon sila ni India. So, right now, right now, sabi nila, sobrang init. Sabi ko, okay lang yan. Basta, syempre may deodorant kayo. At least, sure yung ganun. Sabi niya, hindi nila maintindihan. Kasi meron ng UPS, parang generator, pero hindi kaya. And according to them, every time we start talking about discipleship, nagba-black out. Sabi niya, minsan nga, we started talking about discipleship, sa lahat ng lugar may ilaw, pero itong kung saan kami nagmi-meeting, doon lang walang ilaw. Sabi ko sa kanya, ang wisdom dyan, huwag niyong pag-usapan ang discipleship. Di ba? Parang hindi church lang. Pero sabi ko, parang hindi maganda pakinggan. Palitan nyo na lang yung term na discipleship, baka sobrang familiar na si Satan doon. So you know, those are the things that they have to contend with. Okay, they have to contend with. They would need, you know, staff from time to time, you know, the missionaries that we send in the nations of the world. And last but not the least is this one. You know, some of us here, all of us are called to pray. Okay, some of us here are called to basically give. And look at this one. There are some of you here. Okay, there are some of you here, as I begin to end, there are some of you here who's called to what? Who's called to go. Okay, God is calling you to go to the nations of the world. Who am I here? You can honestly say that there is a burden, okay, in your heart right now for a specific nation. Lord, can I see your hand for what? You know, if you have something like that, okay, try to, you know, really, you know, pray to God for that. It is time for us to basically, you know, partner with God in what He's doing in the nations of the world. I was thinking about this. Let me just end with this one. You know, if you're familiar with the Aldab phenomenon, the Aldab fever, why don't you watch this? Okay, is there anyone who's not familiar with that or the Pastillas girl, tama? Pastillas girl, the kalaban of Aldab. You know what's amazing here? You know what's amazing here? They tried to beat a record yesterday. They tried to beat a record yesterday. Of all records, they tried to beat a Twitter record. Okay, what happened? One of the, parang alam na alam ko, hindi ako nanood niya na, Wikipedia lang, tsaka YouTube. One of the shows, long time, what do you call this, host in the show, Joey De Leon, made an appeal. Sabi niya, last time there were 5 million tweets about Aldab. Right now he said, I wanna appeal to everyone. This very Saturday, let's make it 11 million. And guess what? Guess what? By the time it reached, I think, 2 in the afternoon, guess what? There were 11 million tweets about this couple right here. That even Disney themselves took notice and started tweeting about Aldab. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how big 11 million is? That's more than the number of the Syrian refugees talking about Aldab. Because of an appeal of one person. Here's what I want us to understand. 2,000 years ago, Jesus also made an appeal for us to go to the nations of the world and make disciples of all nations. Amen. I pray that as Christians, you know, we would begin to take that into heart. And there's going to be like millions of people. There's going to be like hundreds of us who will take it into consideration. Who will take it seriously. The call that God has placed for us to disciple the nations of the world.